days are like all of the others.
The Pirates of the Canadian. Yo ho, yo ho, the pirate's life for me. Who among us can possibly resist the attraction and the excitement and the glory portrayed by the idea of a pirate? Amusement parks, kiddie shows, even the movies glamorize the life of the swashbuckling buccaneer. Indeed, there's some very attractive things about the pirate's life. Sailing the seven seas, traveling around the world, seeing exotic ports, being free to go wherever you want with nothing to hold you down and no rules. Of course, the whole reason that anyone becomes a pirate is to search for buried treasure. So let me get this straight. I can go anywhere in the world I want. I can take whatever booty I find, and no one can stop me. Wow, sounds like a pretty good plan, at least if you're on the pirate side of the equation. But what about the people in the lands where the pirates visit? Are they so happy every time the pirates come to call? So I was wondering about this the other day. Who might be considered to be pirates in today's modern telecoms world? Oh, I don't know. There are a few candidates who come to mind. Many of them actually are pirates and are being pursued as pirates by the telecoms. Others used to be pirates, but like the famous pirate Captain Morgan, you might remember him as Captain Blood, played by Errol Flynn, they've gone legit and turned into upstanding citizens of the world. It's funny how profit and legitimacy can turn the most notorious villain into a stalwart citizen in good standing. No, my latest candidate for a pirate infiendo, that's Latin for in progress, are our friends from north of the border, from RIM, Research in Motion. Founded in 1984, Research in Motion, known lovingly as RIM, didn't really get anybody's attention until 1999 when they invented the BlackBerry device. According to the RIM Fast Facts, RIM is a leading designer, manufacturer, and marketer of innovative wireless solutions. Well, who could argue with that? It's undeniable that in 1999, when the BlackBerry handset first came out, the state of telecoms was pure bedlam when it came to integration of voice, data, and mobility, and RIM created the market. They showed what could be done and how popular and profitable it could be. So to begin with, a well-earned thank you and hats off to RIM for helping to create the world that we find mobile telecoms in. However, there's another side to this gold doubloon, or whatever golden coin you want to talk about, and that is what's going on today. Well, it's not 1999 anymore, and the kinds of integration and efficiency that the original BlackBerrys provided have been displaced by an infinitely improved wireless infrastructure. The integration of Wi-Fi, WiMAX, GPRS, and EVDO has accomplished an almost seamless full integration of IP-based technology, VoIP, email, web, and streaming video, for all types of devices and all types of networks. The consumer has been freed from the shackles of individual carriers and channels in many ways. All of the integration that the BlackBerry service provides, you can get any number of different ways. So, what's the problem? Well, there is none really, except that for many people, any of the other devices that you want to buy will integrate with these back-end services and provide the equivalent of what the BlackBerry does. The problem is that the BlackBerry has a string attached, and that string is a very long string. It's a monthly fee, which gets paid to RIM for their integrated services. You pay for the leash, and it's for the use of their servers, which are for the most part in Canada. So what's the problem with that? Well, nothing, except how many customers really understand that's what they're paying for when they sign up for the BlackBerry service. How many understand that the money they're paying is not actually going to their telecoms, but going to Canada? At this point, we come to the crux of the problem. It's still a perfectly fair and square business model, but unfortunately, as with many aspects of new technology's deployment, there are some gray areas that begin to emerge. The first one, clearly part of our charter as fraud and security managers, is the issue of RIM encryption. What RIM promises their customers is absolutely safe encrypted channel that even the government and the telecom can't crack. Well, that might sound good to you, but the fact of the matter is that governments around the world insist that telcos make it possible for them to bug lines and tap lines that they have identified as being criminal or threatened to security. In the U.S., there's a law known as CALEA, but every country has these laws. When the Rim folks promise this kind of security, the criminals come flocking at their doors because it's a way to bypass government controls. As a result, Rim and governments around the world have started to have it out. Recent problems in the Middle East and in India have shown the direction that this is going to take. Arr, me hearties, so much for the pirate's life when it comes to the security of Rim. Well, while the regulatory battles for the security communications are of transient interest for revenue assurance professionals, there's a much more critical issue, much closer to home. That has to do with the due diligence that telecoms invest in the management of their relationships with RIN, or any other partner for that matter, when the partner brings a non-conventional business service. There are dozens of non-conventional agreement scenarios where telecoms are offered each month, whether they be VNOs, MVNOs, co-ops, or whatever. In each and every case, the challenge for the telecom is to make sure that they get the right controls in place so that the partnership doesn't turn into a pirate ship. In the case of RIM, I can think of two examples, both clearly the faults of the telecoms, but which allow RIM to make extra profits due to telecom laxness. The first and most pathetic are the cases where we have had literally dozens of revenue assurance departments report that when their customers decommission and deprovision their RIM services, that nobody cancels the contract with RIM in Canada. Telcos have reported as many as 20,000 accounts where they're paying monthly fees for customers that have decommissioned a long time ago. So revenue assurance managers, please note, check on this now if it applies to you, and please let us know if you find a case like this and how much money you recovered by putting this simple control in place. Now that one's easy. The bigger risk that telecoms face is when these new models come to town and the risk or benefit to margins is not immediately apparent. So let's look at RIM again. One of the things that RIM has to do in order to continue to expand their business and attract new customers is to think of ways to offer things that other handset providers can't. While RIM can compete in the apps sweepstakes, that is, I have more apps than you do, in the final analysis, the apps manufacturers will be the winners there. What RIM has that others don't is their electronic leash back to the RIM server. So what's more natural for them than to expand that part of their business? So RIM integration with Lotus Notes, Microsoft Exchange, all fair and square business models that have nothing to do with our margins. However, many people sign up and create RIM offerings where customers are charged only for voice, leaving all the data services in a package that gets considered part of what they get for signing up for RIM. When they do that, we get into a possible problem. Since data to RIM is not billable as a separate per packet charge, what happens is RIM starts to differentiate their product. BlackBerry to BlackBerry messaging, BlackBerry to BlackBerry chat, and the most nefarious BlackBerry corporate PBX, which is BlackBerry to BlackBerry VoIP. So let's try a scenario. I get a customer, he signs up for BlackBerry and pays his $15 a month. I turn over and give most of that to RIM. In exchange, I let my customers have the RIM service for that $15 a month fee. Now I get the voice revenue, but the data is not charged. So what happens when those customers start to use the BlackBerry SMS and texting, the BlackBerry messaging, and the BlackBerry VoIP? Well, what's going to happen is my voice margins are going to go down. I'm going to stop making money for my bread and butter services because it all goes in through that encrypted BlackBerry channel. I don't even know that my customers are using those services because it's all secured under the BlackBerry channel. So eventually what happens is I start to see a reduction in my revenues and I don't know why. We call this margin erosion. And this kind of margin erosion can turn what originally looks like a pretty sweet deal into a pretty expensive partnership. This is where the revenue assurance professional comes in. Revenue assurance has a discipline known as margin and market assurance. Under margin and market assurance, what we do is gather up all the different parts and facets of this transaction and assure management that the margins that they think they're going to be getting and the market share are what they should be. Cannibalization analysis, margin return on investment, red margin alarms, all of these standard revenue assurance controls allow management to be sure that when they go into such partnership deals, they don't turn into privateer contracts, but stay good business for both RIM and for the telecom. So, as you're thinking about the glories of the pirates, and as you're looking at the possible money to be made from all of these great BlackBerry or other revenue-producing opportunities, think about the pirates and think about the ways that possibly what looks like a good deal on the surface, you could land up being in a contract where your customer wins and the pirates win and you end up standing in the middle holding the bag. Well, I think that's about enough for this week. This is Rob Madison saying hardy har har. Good luck, be safe, and we'll talk to you again soon.